Mercury is a common environmental pollutant that can accumulate in organisms through bacteria and cause reproductive health problems. According to a recent study done at the Grand Portage National Monument, the Grand Portage area has much higher levels of mercury than other forested parks around the Great Lakes. Brandon Seitz is a biological science technician at the Grand Portage Monument and tells us what the results of the study showed.
Six Western Great Lakes National Parks went together on a study of mercury, and Grand Portage, as it turns out, has some of the highest mercury concentrations in soil, sediment, and water. Mercury accumulation, or concentrations rather, in the soil and sediment is as much as four times that of the other national parks in our area.
The study was done around the Snow, Poplar, and Grand Portage Creeks with the help of scientists from the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. They checked mercury levels in dragonfly larvae. Since they're at the bottom of the food chain, the larvae could indicate possible dangers for larger predators.
And that has important ramifications for us as we choose what we want to eat. We would want to focus on organisms that are either smaller on the food chain or that eat organisms smaller on the food chain. So if you had a choice between, let's say, whitefish and a very old Siskiwit lake trout, you would definitely want to target the whitefish as it eats a zooplankton, whereas the lake trout eats other fish.
Seitz says that mercury usually comes from a geogenic source, meaning from minerals in the earth, but the Grand Portage area doesn't have deposits of those minerals.
The mercury in our environment here came from either coal burning for power or taconite, the baking of taconite for processing. So our mercury is foreign to us. It did not originate here.
Apart from power and mining, there's another possible explanation on where it came from, with a much more historical basis: the fur trade. Hundreds of years ago, the French voyageurs traded vermilion, a mercury-based red color popular in China and Holland, and carried it through what is now Grand Portage.
There were hundreds and hundreds of pounds of vermilion traded here. Vermilion is derived from cinnabar ore, and it's used in a lot of different things, but at this time it was used as a sort of a pigment, and it was put into paints for paddles. It was painted on skin as a cosmetic. It was used as a gift oftentimes. And also here, they use mercurial ointments. They slathered muscles with mercurial ointments in order to cure what ailed you. At that time, it was believed that mercury was a cure-all. And so many of the voyageurs likely were rubbed down with mercury.
The monument even has artifacts showing how the fur traders used vermilion in their lives. Museum technician Steve Veit brings me down into the basement of the building to the archives and pulls out a very old rust-colored paddle. He says this paddle was used for more than just paddling.
But this paddle is unique in that it's treated with polyethylene glycol now, so that's a preservative for it, which is why it has that dark brown color. But it was a paddle that was dipped, the tip of it was red with that vermilion and bear grease mixture, vermilion being the mercury sulfide. It was essentially, it was used as a face paint or makeup at the time. But it would serve as a little ceremony for people that were heading into the Northwest to be winterers. And that would mean that they would spend the winter in the interior. So they're away from the comforts of Montreal, the trading post and so forth. But during that ceremony, it was a way to determine, or at least mark the occasion as a rite of passage for men that to separate themselves from the other group of voyagers, guys called pork eaters or comers and goers, the seasonal employees, as opposed to the permanent employees, the men spending all year working for the company. And they would hold a baptism ceremony, they would call it, where the men would take a cedar bough and dip it in a ditch of water and then baptize the men. Make him take a vow never to kiss another voyager's wife without her permission, and then also to ensure that any other future winterers, or Ivernaux, as they were called, passing through this area between North and South Lake, went through the same ceremony. And after doing so, they would then rub some vermilion and bear grease on just the very bottom of the blade, maybe, you know, an inch or two, not covering the entire blade by any means. But that would then be a way to symbolize or mark the voyager as a winterer, and you could identify voyagers based on their paddles if he was a winterer or if he was just a comer and a goer, one of the seasonal pork eaters working for the company.
That said, the vermilion trade is only one explanation why Grand Portage has such high mercury levels. Seitz says there's no telling exactly how much vermilion traveled through the region.
We don't honestly know why it is we have a higher amount of mercury here. There are probably two reasonable explanations. One, there is a unique local source, which could have come from the fur trade, or there is a dispersed regional source that's as of yet unidentified. But only further research will bear that out.
Site says the next step is to do a study on different isotopes of mercury found in the area to determine the source. Each isotope acts like a signature that could determine where it came from. Right now, though, it's possible a few species of wildlife could be at risk.
It would be particularly disturbing in any ecosystem, I think. But for us, we have a few specific concerns. First among them, probably, would be the belted kingfisher. Pretty voracious little bird. It eats a lot of fish within streams. Its habitat and home range is streamborne. And the fish that we studied, in most cases, almost 79% of the fish that we tested exceeded the dietary benchmark for kingfishers. And what that means is that 79% of its diet coming from these three streams in Grand Portage present a hazard to its health and reproduction. Also, mink. Mink use streams a lot. We have mink here. And the 23% of the fish we tested in the streams here exceeded the dietary benchmark for mink, which means 23% of its diet could cause it harm.
As for a solution to the contamination, Site says change needs to happen on both large and small scales.
The personal choices you make, let's say using a compact fluorescent bulb over an incandescent bulb, can have an effect on mercury. Whereas a compact fluorescent bulb actually has mercury in it, incandescent bulb does not. There's so much less power that goes into a compact fluorescent, and there's so much less coal burned to make that bulb illuminate that it's a much better source. And so there are personal decisions that we can make that will reduce mercury in the environment, and then there's really large-scale changes that need to be made legislatively.
The monument will be doing more mercury tests, this time on swallow eggs, as well as a citizen science program on collecting more dragonfly larvae in the near future. But the new findings have led to a shift in the monument's activities.
I don't know that it'll affect the programs, but it did certainly redirect a good bit of our attention on research. And so we were pretty focused on forest management and some other things, and now we're pretty focused on mercury.
With WTIP, I'm Will Moore for the Lake Superior Project. The Lake Superior Project is a production of WTIP Community Radio on the north shore of Lake Superior. Support for this feature comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Music and sounds in this feature were produced by Peter Alvin. For more information, visit the Lake Superior Project page at WTIP.org.